John chapter 14 tonight. John chapter 14. Sometimes when you preach a lot, and you know, man, I mean, I wish, and when I was started preaching, I wanted to be an evangelist. Evangelists, you know, some of the old evangelists, they get, what they used to say was you get 10 good messages. You get 10. And once you get them, you know, you kind of tweak them in that, and then you just pray over which ones you're going to preach. You got seven nights. You couldn't let your revival go more than 10 nights. You have to start over again, right? But, you know, they would preach them. But when you pastor, see, you can't do that. You have to, you know, you got to, there's another message. You got to get a message ready for Sunday morning, Sunday night every week. So over the years, you know, we don't have time to, like, work on the same one, although some texts get preached over. But sometimes in doing that, you know, you get a message together and you think, man, I don't know. You're never sure how it's going to preach anyway, but sometimes you worry a little more about them. And this one, I don't know if I'm going to do justice to it, but I'll do my best. Just because the topic is tough to, can't exhaust it to start with, and words can't describe some of what we want to talk about tonight. But in John chapter 14, we'll start there in just one verse for you. In verse 19, John 14, 19, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for the folks here. We thank you for the singing and just blessing our heart there. And now I pray that we can be prepared. Lord, look to your word. I pray you bless this outline, bless this message. Bless us, Lord, with your presence, the awareness of your presence. You know our hearts, you know our needs, and I pray every need to be met. Lord, thank you for loving us. Lord, help us to love you more. Lord, help us to be faithful to you, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is Sharing Christ's Life. You know, one of the marks of a true believer, and it says it in this verse right here, is that he sees Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean that you got some kind of vision out in the middle of nowhere or anywhere, you know, of a physical body, but that you see through the scriptures, you see the true Jesus. In Jesus' day, when he walked as a man on the earth, the world saw him. A lot of people saw him in a certain sense, but in truth, a lot of people didn't see him at all. You know, some realized who he was, some didn't. The world saw his flesh, the external, you know, just a man. The Bible's clear about how he looked. The Bible said, and what the world saw, they said that they didn't see any beauty or any comeliness is how I think it's worded. They didn't, another place says that he, I'm going to paraphrase it, but what it said was that he didn't stand out in any special way by his appearance. I mean, he just looked, like the average person of the day. There wasn't anything outstanding in his physical appearance there. But in that day when he walked on earth, there was a lot of people that didn't see see Christ for who he is, that spiritual view. Even though and some did when he was in the flesh, they realized who Jesus was. And so I think today, it's still the same. The mark of true Christian today is that they see Jesus as he is, in a sense. Now, I don't think that we see it all, because the Bible tells us that we see him through a glass darkly. That's how. But then, you know, one day we're going to see him face to face. So, but we have, if you're saved, if you're truly saved, you have a view of the spiritual view of Jesus Christ to some degree. I believe it'll be greater, you know, one day down the road. I believe as you grow in Christ, I think that vision is going to increase. As you study the Word of God, that vision increases. I think sometimes our vision dims and it comes and goes a little bit depending on how, close up that we walk to God. But, you know, Jesus told them there, he was talking to his disciples, and he said, the world seeth me no more. He said, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And he was pointing ahead, you know, that when he was crucified and his body died and he resurrected, he did appear to some people after that, after his resurrection. But I think he just appeared to the people that believed him, people that trusted him, the Emmaus Road disciples, the people in the upper room. He appeared to those people. He didn't go out and show everybody that he had resurrected. And so, you know, what happens? I think for a person to be saved, that they have to somehow, with their mind's eye, with their spiritual eyes see Christ, understand that he's real, that he's alive, that, you know, that the word of God is true. The Emmaus Road disciples is a good example. You know, they walked along, they were talking with Jesus. They didn't realize who he was. And they said, he shared the scriptures with them. And the Bible says that their eyes were opened. It wasn't that they were walking around with their eyes closed. They were open, but now they saw. They saw that this was Jesus right there. They said, our hearts burn within us. And they knew that that was Jesus. Peter, one time, it finally dawned on Peter one day when they brought in all them fish in the boat. And he said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. He knew that he was standing in the presence of the Lord. He all of a sudden, he got to see. Stephen in the upper room after the resurrection, when he came, he said he wasn't going to believe that Jesus had resurrected until he saw the prints of the nails in his hands and his feet. And he came in there and Jesus said, there you go. There you go. Did I say Stephen? I meant to say Thomas. I know. Yeah, I'll get a, you know, brain just picturing one thing, looking at another. Thomas said, you know, and he said, there it is. He said, look, there you go, Thomas, right there. Stick your hand in my side right here. And he said, my Lord and my God, what happened? His eyes were opened up and he saw that Jesus was alive, that he was resurrected. His mind's eye, he saw that. And so, you know, that's something we see. We live in a world right here. Man, most of the world that we live in, they haven't got a clue. They don't have an idea. They're riding up and down the road. They haven't given no more of a thought about Jesus and the man in the moon. And they don't see what we see, what you should see. I'm telling you, I see things I never saw before I got saved. I can look in the paper, man, and I can see the hand of God moving on the face of the world and the world events and the world, things that happen in the world because I know what the Bible says. I know that's God. I see that, working. Things are working out. Don't sweat it either because I know I'm in God's hands. And so, you know, there's when God opens your eyes, I tell you something, you're always going to see Jesus. This is a mark of being saved, that you really see Jesus. You know, when he healed a blind man, I'm gonna guarantee you right here, the Bible never says, but I guarantee it's true. Every single blind person that he ever healed, they never went blind again. They never fell back into whatever caused their blindness. It might have been from birth. It might have been from something. They stayed seeing the rest of the time. And I think when a person really gets saved, sometimes, like I say, that vision might get a little dim, but it's really there. That's a mark of a true believer. And so he's speaking to the people that are his, the ones that he knows, and he talks to them about seeing him. They see him. He already knew that. But now he wants to talk to them about life, and that's really what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. He speaks to them about life. He said, because I live, ye shall live also. What he's talking about there, of course, obviously they were, like I said a while ago, they had a pulse and they were breathing. I mean, they were living as far as that goes. But he was talking about the abundant life. He was talking about the divine life, the Christ life, the spiritual life, the life in Christ Jesus. You know, this is something that you should be aware of. I don't know, you know, when you got saved, you think about when you got saved and you started to grow and those things. I can look back now and I can remember before I got saved, I did not have any spiritual life. There wasn't anything that I didn't think anything about spiritual things. I think about spiritual things now. I have a spiritual life. I can see that's something I had that I didn't have before. It's a blessing. I mean, it's a blessing to know when things come along that you can pray about those things and you can trust God and you can put your faith in Him. Listen, this is the best life. It's a life that surpasses the life of flesh. It's just a life that surpasses that. This is the thing, and we need to experience that all that we can. The world needs to see that life. And so Jesus assures them and us through that word right there that because he lives, that we shall live also. That we shall live also. And it's not like, you know, the old pie in the sky people say everything's up there. Listen, no, you can have life now. He said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He's talking about now. Man, we can have a great life right now. And we should, if we, you know, what happens, Satan gets in there and he you know, all these distractions and roadblocks and all these things, and it's all cluttered up, and it's like we can't see through, you know, like they say, you can't see the forest for the trees, you know, we can't see, and so what happens, we get discouraged and we get distracted, but we got to understand, you know, we got spiritual life, and Jesus said, and then the abundant life, we just don't let Satan get you into that state right there. The first point I want to talk about is that Jesus lives, that he always lived. He always lived. There was never a time when Jesus was not. Of course, we know he's God. He's God, then he came as flesh. And if you have trouble getting your head around that, I don't. I mean, because I just know what God can do. I know God can do anything. But the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And that's talking about Jesus' life. It's talking about his life as a man, actually. When he came to this, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And that, you know, Jesus today, right this very minute, I don't know how you picture Jesus. You know, there's all kind of, our mind's been a little bit messed up by the artist of a certain period in history, in church history. They all painted him a certain way and all that, and you kind of get that picture in your mind. And you kind of think, okay, Jesus. Now, I wonder what Jesus is doing right now. How does Jesus live in? Sometimes some people look in a mystical sense. It's like, or he's a spiritual sense. You know, I want to tell you something right now, that Jesus lives as a man today, just like you and I are living as, he's got a body, he's breathing, he's walking, he's talking, he might even be, I know he ate on the shore after his resurrection, so there's a good chance. Don't you hope they have food in heaven? I mean, I hope they got a buffet like nobody's business, man. I mean, you can go down through there and eat, and I don't know, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding with it. But don't you hope that's the truth? Boy, you can eat and don't gain any weight. Wouldn't that be good? I mean, we just go down to, you know, I know where to find y'all. Yeah, y'all Baptists, you're going to be in the buffet line, right? That's just the way it is. But you know that right now, this minute, now think about this. This minute. It's, you know, because our mind, we are thinking back like, well, Jesus was back there 2,000 years ago, and here's all this time, and it's hard for us to get our head unwrapped around space and time, you know, distance and all that. And so in our mind, it almost feels like, and in a sense, listen, in his humanity, he is a ways away. Now, because of the Holy Spirit, he dwells in us. But in his body, as a person, but at the same time, he's omniscient. He knows everything that's going on. But he's just as alive as you and I right now. He's just as alive. He's alive, and it's not all mystical. It's not all spiritual. It's not all just some distant reality. It's a truth today. He's just as alive as you and I are standing. You know what the Bible says, when Stephen was stoned, that he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He saw Jesus standing. He said, he looked up and I saw him standing at the right hand of God. So that means he got legs, right? I mean, he's got legs, he's got feet. I mean, and he knew who it was. It wasn't like, well, I saw something standing at the right hand of God and I couldn't tell. He said, this is God. I mean, it's Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And that meant, and there's a lot of things you could preach about that. I mean, that Jesus cares, that he stood, went to death of one of his saints, and that he stood and he watched that. He knew what was going on. I mean, that was a blessing right there. And so he saw that. After his resurrection, he appeared as a man. The Bible said, I mentioned a second ago, that he ate a broiled fish on the seashore. And Peter and him looked over and they knew who he was. He appeared to the Emmaus Road disciples, and he appeared to John on Patmos, which Brian's going through on the Sunday school lesson for the adults there. He appeared there. He was in a glorified state then, and we talked about that this morning. Mary thought on Resurrection Day, she thought he was the gardener. So actually he looked like a gardener, you know. At least he thought that might be who it was. So we understand this, and this is a profound thing, that we've heard it all right. You know, he lives, Christ Jesus lives. We sing it all the time. You just start thinking about Jesus resurrected from the dead. And that he's just as alive today as he ever was. And he said, because I live, you're going to live also. I mean, this is, he lives a real life. He's living a real life right now. He's living a real life. Not floating around in a mystical cloud somewhere. No, he's in heaven. He's living a real life as a man. Jesus, God the Son, is living as a man. And he's active. The Bible says, you know, you all wonder what Jesus is doing. He's just sitting up there on a throne all day long. You know, seraphim, cherubim flying around, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He's just sitting there all day long looking holy. The Bible says that he went to prepare a place for us. What's that mean? Got a tool belt on, nail gun? You know? No, he's not doing that. No, there's other preparations besides physical ones. But he says, I'm going to go prepare a place. He's doing something. The Bible tells us, talks about Jesus' intercessory prayer life. Now, this is the awesomest thing to me that I think about, because, see, I have to stand in the pulpit and preach, and I have to get ready to preach, and you got to pastor a church, and that ain't all the bowl of cherries that everybody thinks it is sometimes. But Jesus prays for me. Now, he prays for you, too. But I don't care that he prays for you. I'm glad. No, that he prays for me. I mean, man, that is a, isn't that a profound thought? That Jesus is praying for you. He knows what you're going through. That he prays for you. This is just a real, I mean, this is what he's doing. That I said a couple weeks ago, it's profound. It's a profound thought that Jesus even thinks of us. That he even thinks of us. But he saw Stephen. He stood when Stephen, you know, gave his life. And so he's preparing a place. He's interceding for his people. And he prays for us. And as a man, Jesus as a man, listen, he is in one place. He's only in one place at a time in that part of him. But in the Holy Spirit, he's everywhere at one time. But as a man, he's only in one place at one time because he's God and he can do this. As a man, the Bible says that he's coming back one day. Well, if he was everywhere at one place as a man, he wouldn't be coming back. He'd already be here, right? So he's got to come back. He's coming back as a physical. The physical Jesus is coming back. So one day, and that's going to be, and we talked about it, every eye is going to see him. Every knee is going back. We're going to see that. So, you know, so he's alive. I mean, that's what we got to get that. He's alive. Alive. He himself is alive. The second point is that he has promised life. Life promised there. And he said that he promised life to those who trust him. I already went over that. The abundant life. He had promised the eternal life. You know, he promised spiritual life. We already have natural life. It's actually, but you know, natural life without God. I mean, natural life without God is not worth anything. If you don't know anything after being saved amount of time, you'll understand that. It's a spiritual life. It's a supernatural. See, we have natural life, but now we have a supernatural life. Supernatural. I think I preached a message on this one time. You know that as long as God's got something for you to do, you're immortal. We're immortal anyway because we have eternal life. But on this earth, if God's got something for you to do, nobody can kill you. I'd find something to do. You want to hang around down here very long, I'd find something to do. Because God, if you're doing something for God and God wants you to keep doing it to glorify him, right? Then you're immortal because he's not. We got supernatural life. It's not the same. When a dead soul gets into living contact with the living Savior, by the power of the Holy Spirit, then spiritual life begins. That's what happens to us right there. And one of the very first outward signs of this life, this spiritual life, is prayer. The very first outward signs of this life that Jesus gives is prayer. As we pray to the living Christ. See, you can't pray. Prayer and belief are so. Because, see, if you really don't believe, you wouldn't pray. And a lot of people don't pray. You know why? Because they really don't believe. People just don't. I'm talking about Christians on church rolls. They don't really believe in the power of God, that prayer has the power to change things, to move the hand of God, to get God's ear, that God Almighty can do what he wants to do. Man, I mean, you know, when we really get a grip on that, we will pray about everything, every single thing, every day, that God can do some things greater than what we think that he can do. And so we have prayer. You think about those guys, man. If you were in the upper room, say this was the upper room one night, and this is after the resurrection, and all of a sudden, right through that wall, Jesus Christ walked in, and he said, oh, y'all don't believe it's me? Look at the prince right here. Look at my side right there. And you knew, of course, by the Spirit of God move. You know, this is God. And he said, I'm going to prepare a place, and I'm going to be interceding for you. I tell you what, you'd be a praying fool. I mean, I'd be praying left and right. Well, he's just as alive and just as real right now as he was that day when he walked in the upper room. He's just as alive that day that he resurrected out of the grave, and he talked to all the disciples all along the way. He's just as real and just as alive. And he still, you know, has his plan and his agenda on the earth. And so, you know, you have to really believe it or you won't pray. Nobody lives a spiritual life apart from Jesus Christ. You have no spiritual life apart from Christ. And we're connected to Christ by one thing is prayer, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, but the Word of God and prayer, that's a connection to Jesus Christ. That's how you have a relationship, in other words, with Jesus Christ. Like I said this morning, salvation's not a one-time thing where, you know, yeah, I remember, man, 40 years ago, boy, I went down to the altar and I asked Jesus to save me, and that's it, and boom, you never had a relationship the rest of the time. No, that's not a relationship at all. It's a continuing. I mean, there's a time when you can remember. I remember I got saved August 20th, 1987. Got down on my knees in the house I was living in, right by the old couch. Asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins, come into my life. That was the day and time, but I had to continue that relationship on. I continued that relationship on with Jesus Christ ever since. All, you know, hey, was I always obedient? No. Did I get away from God? Yes. You know, did it, you know, all the things, but yet that relationship continued on. So, you know, we have prayer. We see that. And you can't have a spiritual life apart from Jesus Christ. The vine and the branches is a great illustration in the Bible for that. And listen, if we want to see people saved, we want to see souls saved, you know, we have to preach Jesus Christ. This is the point right here. His blood, his resurrection power, his love, his life. That's what you preach. You know, listen, there's no use trying to raise the dead by preaching the law to them. You know, sometimes I see Christians, sometimes they get all sidetracked. They're trying to get the lost people to live according to the commandments of God. They can't do it. Why? Because they're dead. They can't do it. You can't take the law of God. It's not going to give anybody spiritual life. All it does is it points to the fact that you are dead. But sometimes we're trying to get people to say, well, you know, boy, look at them people over there. They're doing this, that, and the other thing. What do you expect? They're lost. That's what they do. They don't have any spiritual life. So you can't raise the dead by preaching the law to the dead because the law doesn't have any power. You have to preach the blood and the cross and crucifixion and forgiveness of sin, or, you know, his love, his life, all those things. You know, death doesn't have any power, only life, and it's only Christ's life that gives us that power. And so, this is good stuff. and listen, Jesus is alive. He's going to continue to live. And that's the assurance that we have that we will continue to have spiritual life. Man, it must have been something for Peter and John to be up there on the Mount Transfiguration. And was it a Moses and Elijah came down? Yeah, it was Moses and Elijah came down with them. What did that tell them? Moses and Elijah to them had probably been dead about as long as Jesus has been gone from here, you know, in their mind. But there they were. They knew who they were. Moses and Elijah, they say they're alive. They said, man, wow, you know what? There's life after death. Yes, that was pretty assurance of that. You know, so they saw that. And as a continuance. And this is where we get the victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Our theme at Bible Camp this year, we went down there yesterday to set our theme up. And we were talking about stuff, about what we're going to do. We try to have kind of a theme. And, you know, we just talked about this. You know, we want to talk about victory, having the victorious Christian life. Sometimes we talk about, you know, what you shouldn't do. And the problem with talking about what you shouldn't do, you already haven't done it. You know, so you feel kind of defeated about that, right? But we're going to talk about having the spiritual life, a victorious Christian life. And so, you know, we can have that. You know, we can have the victorious Christian life because we are living a life that is connected. Actually, the Bible says it this way. The Bible says that Paul said, it's not I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. He said, I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. He said, I was crucified with Christ, yet I live. Not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And so it's, you know, there's Jesus Christ living in us. Now, if we're dead, how much sinning does a dead man do? Huh? Dead man don't do any sinning. Dead man don't have no desire to sin. Dead man don't want nothing, does he? If we've been crucified with Christ, guess what? We're dead. But if Christ lives in us, resurrected power, that resurrected life. Now the life of Christ is supposed to be living in our life. And so that's how you have the victorious Christian life. You just let go and you let Jesus Christ live through you. And guess what? He's going to live a victorious Christian life. There's, now in the spiritual life, I think there's degrees. I don't know that it's marked off like we think. You know, there's degree one, degree two, degree three. You know, I don't think it's that. It's finer than that, smaller things. There's degrees to spiritual life. We can go higher in our spiritual life than we probably go. You know, there's more to Christian. I say this a lot. there's more to Christianity or to Christian life than what most of us are living. You know, there's more to it than that. Why? Why is that? Why is there more? Because we won't let go. We fight that old self, the flesh, selfishness, self-centeredness. We fight that, a lack of trust. We think, oh my gosh, if I give all my life over to Jesus, I won't be in control any longer. And what's going to happen? It's going to be terrible. No, it's not going to be terrible. Where would Jesus lead you? It's all going to be good, but we don't believe it. It's a belief problem. It's a belief problem. If you really believed it, you ever do that thing? Hey, we could do one of those little experiments. You know that thing where you get somebody in a trust thing where you fall backwards? Huh? And somebody catches you? Have you ever done that? How many of you was real nervous when you did it? Huh? How many of you wouldn't do it? Huh? It was real nervous. You know why? Because you just kind of wondered whether they was really going to catch you or not. I was watching a little funny video on some of them sports shows. Damien and I was watching it. And they had this kid that had this big ball, this big rubber ball, and this one person was down here like this and holding the ball. And this boy, about Damien's age, probably 12, 13 years, he come running in there, and he's going to jump up in the air, and he got his legs straight out like this, and he was going to fall down on it on his rear end. And the other person knocked the ball this way when he went down. Ooh. Yeah, it hurt him real bad. He landed right on his rear end. Probably didn't do that again. He didn't trust him. But that's the thing. See, it's the same kind of trust. You're just falling back. You're at the mercy of whoever's there to catch you. So with Jesus, it's the same thing. If you just trust him, that degree, you know, our spiritual life, when we learn to trust and give him more and more and more, we can just let him have our life. You know, we can go higher. He gives us an educated life. He wants us to have the life that he lives, the life that Jesus lives. It's the highest form of spiritual life. We don't, you know, a lot of times we go, the Bible refers to it this way. We go through our Christian life as a pauper when we could be rich because we don't experience everything that Christ has for us as we trust him. As I said, he calls it the abundant life. He came to give us the abundant life. You know, we ask for that. You can plead that promise. You can ask God for that. God, I want the abundant life. It's the life of happiness, holiness, spirituality, consecration, obedience. And it's the only life that's worth having. It's the only life worth having. You'll never be happy till you have this life. You try to find it yourself, you'll never get it. It's like I said, it's like chasing the donkey with the carrot hanging out in front, like chasing that carrot, you're never going to get to it. You're always going to be looking, always, you know it's out there. You know that life is out there, but you're just trying to find it in wealth and fame and material things. You keep trying, nothing wrong with them things by themselves, but if you're trying to have the happy, full life that I'm talking about, not an empty life, you never find it apart from Christ. It's just the way God made us right there. Death can't interfere with this life. Death can't interfere with this life. Think about this. I was reading something about it. It made me think about it a lot. What death really is? How long does it take to die? How long does it take to die? It occupies no space and no time, not even a second. Sometimes people say, well, you know, it took them a week to die or it took them a month to die. No, they were living. They were living. A person lives, might not be a good life. But you know what? A person, death is so fast. You may slow down. You may get real slow. It's just a bump in the road. Think about this. Watch my eyes. This is how fast death is right here. That's it. It's just a blink of an eye. And it's a bump in the road. For the Christian, it isn't nothing. You ever been going down the road in your car, maybe not paying attention? Boom, hit a bump, and then you keep, and you're still going? That's exactly what's going to happen for the Christian. You're going to be walking. You're going to be right there one time. You're going to blink your eyes. You're going to be in heaven. What happened? You died. Wow. I didn't even know it. What happened? That's it. I mean, hey, you could get sick. You can get sick and feel bad and have a lot of issues going on with you and all that and all that, but you're still going to be living right up to that last little bump in the road, and it's just going to be a blink, and you're going to be there. Imagine that. Man, that's life. Isn't that nice to know? I used to fear. I've told you all this. When I was a little kid one time, I was about 4 or 5 years old. I was in there ball. I started thinking about dying. I don't know why. I'm 4 or 5 years old. I'm thinking about dying. I started crying. I'm in there bawling. I turned like old Hezekiah, man. I didn't even know nothing about Hezekiah. I rolled over in the bed and I'm facing the wall about that close to my face. My mom comes in there. What are you crying about? I don't want to die. She said, what in the world are you thinking about that for? I don't know why. I was thinking about dying. I don't want to die. It's nothing. It's really nothing. For the believer, it's just a bump in the road and a blink of the eye. And there you are. It occupies no space, not a second. Why? Because he lives, we live. Man, you're just going to be, it'll be like, how many of you ever saw The Field of Dreams? You ever see that movie, The Field of Dreams? You remember old, was the guy that played the doc? Huh? No, the guy that was the doctor. The guy that was, Burt Lancaster. Burt Lancaster was the doctor, remember, and he stepped off the field, and he was a ball player, and boy, his shoe, when he went in there, his baseball shoe turned into a dress shoe and all, and he was standing there as a doctor. Just like that. You just step one time, and you're going to be one day you're walking along, like if I was walking along like this, and I flopped over dead right here, and you all say, man, there he is, dead. No, I'm not there. I just went, what happened, man? I was in the pulpit. What happened? Huh? I'm in heaven. That's it. It's going to be, why? Because I have eternal life. If you have eternal life, you're not going to get it. You got it. Amen. I got it now. Well, you don't look like you have eternal life. You look rougher every day, right? That's because this body's corruptible. This body's corrupting, you know, and it's going down. And guess what? But here's the cool thing. We get a new body. Amen. Lord knows we need one, amen, right? The body that's not going to corrupt. It's not going to decay. It's not going to age. It's not going to get diseases. All that, we're going to get all that because we have spiritual life. Putting on immortality. We already have that. I have immortality today. The third point is life linked. The life that's linked with Christ. Christ lives as a justified person, and because of the price that he paid for our justification, we live as justified persons. I'm not guilty. I'm free. It's just like walking out. I've watched these stories sometimes on TV where somebody spent a long time in prison and they finally get out. I was thinking about that. Boy, wouldn't that be something? Man, you know, you get out, you walk away from that thing, man. Boy, what a weight off your back, you know? And you just, it's done. You've done paid. Everything's paid. Everything's done. Jesus Christ represents us. He lives a representative life. He represents all who live in and through him. A representative life. He lives a perfect life. And we got to think about that link between his life and our life. The link between his living and your living, because we're part of Christ. Think about that connection. That Jesus Christ lives in us. I had somebody one day about certain things. This is kind of a different illustration, but there's this person, I've seen him a few times. He kind of picks on me sometimes, kind of rags on me because I dress up when I go to certain things. You know, like preacher's meeting, I'll dress my suit and everything, look nice. You know, and they said, well, how come you dress up for? Who are you dressing up for? Are you dressing up for each other? Well, really, who do we dress up for? Yeah, but I mean, you know, a lot of times you go to something, you know, somebody dies and you go to the funeral, usually people, well, I mean, the guy that's dead don't care. Well, what do you dress up for? You know, so y'all do dress up for each other in a sense, but any other thing, and I told him one day, I said, well, I'll tell you what, I said, I am dressing up for the Lord because I'm an ambassador for Christ. I represent him on earth. Also that, I represent you. You know, how'd you like to see me? I go down to a preacher's meeting. Yeah, I'm the pastor of Valley View Baptist Church. Shorts, flip-flops, tank top, T-shirt, belly, you know. Yeah, that's my pastor. You know, you can look up there, you can be proud of that, huh? I mean, you know what I'm saying? So I just said, you know, I told this guy, you know, because I said, listen, you don't have to be a poster child for a homeless shelter. It's not appropriate for everything, right? I mean, we represent Christ. Now, I'm not saying to represent Christ, you got to dress up for everything you do. I do think there are functions for that. But, you know, I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I represent him. I want to represent him well in whatever I do. There's a link between his life and my life. And, you know, Christ doesn't live a maimed life. Here's the good. I was reading in the Old Testament about the priest and always wondered about this. Now, I know in the Old Testament, everything pictures Christ. I was just reading the other day, and it was given the qualifications for the priest. And the priest couldn't have anything wrong with him. He had to have all his fingers and toes. He couldn't be deformed in any way, shape, or form. Even by accident or born that way. And I thought, man, that's kind of harsh, isn't it? You know, that the high priest, of course, this priest was representing Christ. I thought, well, it was kind of prejudice. You know, nowadays, being politically correct, he'd have been criticized for this. But I thought, and I used to think about it. I wonder why. And I was thinking about it. But see what it is? It's a picture of Christ. It's a picture of Jesus Christ. And remember when he got crucified, the Bible said there wasn't any bone of him broken. I'll get to where I'm going with this in a minute. There's not a bone of him broken. They wouldn't break his bones. He wouldn't break his legs because of that qualification. And that's what, in the Old Testament, it was picturing Jesus Christ as, you know, as our high priest. That perfect sacrifice. The animals even had to be perfect. They couldn't have anything wrong with them because it pictured Christ. You know, it pictured that perfect body. Well, see, there's that link between living and him. And the Bible talks about us being part of the body of Christ. And you know what? He doesn't have a maimed body. When we get a glorified body, guess what? It's going to be okay. There's not going to be anything wrong with it. Won't be any deformities. Won't be any disease. It's not going to be. And now it's not lacking any members as well. But now we are the body of Christ in the sense of the church. And you know, he's not to have a main body that way either. You know, that body, the church, you know, that we should be a perfect body as well. And so the other connection is when we get our glorified body, as I said, won't be anything wrong with that either. It's going to be a perfect. We represent him. He represents us. Christ lives a blessed life. And it's a life of perfect blessedness. Well, if Christ lives in us, then what kind of life are we have? A blessed life. And we have a blessed life as well. We live there. And then there's a triumphant life. I like that very well. Sin, death, the devil, all defeated by Jesus Christ. See, we don't have to walk around. Most Christians, you see, walk around with their mouth all down in the dumps, looking like they're defeated about every little thing that comes along. No, we don't have to live a defeated life. We have a triumphant life. Why? Because Christ lives in us. He resurrected from the grave. And we have the victory. We have that. And we can't fail because of this vital connection. If we stay vitally connected to Jesus Christ, this is the life that we have. He said, because I live, he said, you're going to live. Man, what a blessing that is. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to grasp all the truth that's here in your word, Lord. Just grasp this reality of your life and ours, the link between our life and yours. Lord, and that you live today just as real as ever. And Lord, that you live in us, live in our hearts also. Help us to understand that deeper than perhaps we do. Lord, have your will and way in our invitation. In Jesus' name.